we are gone. Oh, good morning, Pacifics fans. You have to excuse me. We had a little bit of tech difficulty as far as our sounders and bumpers and all those fun commercials and everything that we have. We had a little bit of trouble with those. They've gone MIA. We've got to find them and track them down for next show. Welcome to the broadcast. Hunter Hornstein here, PBI, Pacifics Baseball Insider, back with you for another night, another morning, I should say. 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. here on radio.dominican.edu, the official flagship station of San Rafael Pacifics Baseball. Every single home game, all 42 of them. There's three gone already, but all 42 of them on PacificsBaseball.com. And how about your San Rafael Pacifics? This is the first regular season broadcast that we've done, and I am very happy to report, and if you don't know this already, get your head out from under the rock that you're under. We've got a 3-0 record. Unbelievable job by the boys so far. Let me run these stats by you, and particularly the pitching staff. Matt Durkin, who was the opening night starter back on Monday night, 7 innings, okay, 1 run allowed. He has a 2.29 ERA. That is the only member of the Pacifics pitching staff who have pitched at any sort of inning so far in these first 3 games at all that has an ERA. We're talking a bullpen that is shut down the Sonoma County Grapes. We're talking about a starting staff that is shut down the Sonoma County Grapes. I mean, I want to look at these guys. Gump last night, 5 innings. Or excuse me, Gump a couple nights ago, 5 innings. 5 hits, 5 strikeouts. I mean, this guy went out there and shoved it. Maybe didn't throw 8 or 9 innings, but still went out there. And then the bullpen came in, did a fantastic job. You look at these guys, Stablefield, Arbalo, Eber, Graham, I mean, everyone is coming out of that pen. Everybody is throwing strikes. Everyone is attacking the zone, which is fantastic. You love to see that. Attack the zone. Make the guys hit it. You know, the first 2 games, a 3-1 score and a 4-1 score, you know, they maybe have been, you could call them, quote, nail biters. I do the air quotes again, nail biters maybe. But then Wednesday night, 9 runs. And really helped out the starter Razner. Jake Razner started that game. He went 7 strong innings. He had 5 strikeouts, and he's 1-0 on the season. Arbalo and Graham both have saves for the team. I talked about it. Krasny, Stablefield, Pevsner, Renicki, all those guys coming out of the pen and doing a fantastic job. And Mike Marshall's really got he's got a lot of good veteran arms that can go out there and give you, you know, 2-3 innings every day out of the pen. And that's something that he mentioned when we went into left spring training, went into the opening series with the Grapes, is that, you know, because that spring training is not a month long or 2 months long and they only have 2 weeks, that he's going to rely a lot on that bullpen if those pitchers cannot go however many innings that they were hoping that they could go. That was very evident in game 2. Gump only goes 5. However, the bullpen comes in, does a fantastic job, shuts down the Grapes. And then, of course, what I want to get to is Mikel Hova, who has decided to just hit everything in sight. I mean, we're talking about a guy who is hitting, wait for it, he's hitting 583 in his first 3 games. He has 7 hits in 12 ABs. He's got a home run, and he leads the league and the Pacifics in RBIs with 8. He had 1 RBI opening night. He decides to have 4 the second night, and then he has 3 more the third night. Unbelievable job by Mikel Hova. And then Johnny Woodard is checked in there at 375, is the second highest batting average on the team. So a little bit of a difference between 583 and 375. Woodard, by the way, hit a bomb on Wednesday's night's game, his first of the year. So he checks in. So the home run totals are Detweiler with 2, Hova with 1, and Johnny Woodard there as well with 1. And then, of course, Zach Pace is finally on the board. He got a couple of knocks and is hitting .333/.300 at Detweiler after that spectacular, just magical night, opening night. How about that? 2 home runs, first 2 at-bats. That's ridiculous. You don't see that very often, folks. And what a guy for it to happen to. Steve Detweiler grew up on C Street, went to San Rafael High, still coaches there. everything that he did for the front office during the offseason, everything that we put him through, and he somehow goes out there and captures the moment, slows the game down, and hits those home runs. I had an opportunity to speak with Mike Marshall after that opening game win, and they were pretty excited. He was pretty excited. I mean, you're talking about over 1,000 people for opening night, and then you go out there and you beat the grapes, and then your hometown guy hits two home runs, not to mention Matt Durkin goes out there and pitches a spectacular gem of a game. I spoke to Mike Marshall, and this is what he had to say.
Mike, game one in the books, and the hometown hero, Steve Detweiler, two home runs. You guys win 3-1. How does it feel to get number one out of the way?
Well, obviously for Steve, he put a lot into not only on the baseball field but in the front office. His father, his family, they did a lot. This clubhouse we're in right now, you know, if it wasn't for the Detweiler family, we certainly wouldn't have the things that we had this spring and going on into the summer. And for him to hit one home run, about a 400-foot bomb, and then the second one, I mean, you need to get the tape measure out. That went over that second building. And so, you think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and then all of a sudden those two home runs were the difference in the game. I give a lot of credit to Gibbs and the Sonoma Club. Joe and Albie got those guys ready. The middle of their infield turned those double plays and made some great plays. Pacetti came in, local kid, and shut us down. So good ball game. I mean, the fans got treated to professional baseball.
Starter Durst goes 7 strong, followed by a good outing out of the bullpen for you. How encouraging is that to see right off the bat?
Well, that's why you get a Matt Durkin. I mean, that's why you get the starting pitching that I have. I mean, opening night a little cool, and he gives up a home run with the first batter and then turns around and just shuts him down for 7 innings. That's what we're looking for. And I got a lot of bulldogs in that starting rotation that I know just want to get the ball. They pound the zone. They throw strikes. They trust it. And Matt just got us going, and that's why he's open. That's why he pitched on opening night. That's the kind of confidence I had in him. I knew that's what was going to happen.
I want to ask you about Tyler Graham. Shut the door, slammed it there. Yeah. in the ninth inning. Looks like he's going to be your go-to closer guy. I mean, he's got a little funky delivery, yeah. But man, he throws hard.
Yeah, we I mentioned that if we have the lead in the sixth, I have so much confidence. We've got our middle guys are great, but we've got three guys down there: Stablefield, Arbalo, and Graham. And I really believe they could pitch at any level. These three guys can shut you down, and that's what they did tonight.
Final question. It's obviously an emotional game, opening night, a lot of emotions going, and then it's great to get that win. What's going to be the key to come back tomorrow, refocus, and continue playing at the level you guys are capable of?
Well, I think our hitters, other than Steve, we really didn't swing the bats. I would imagine our hitters want to get back out there. They want to, they want to get in BP. They're getting used to the lights. You have twilight, you have the lights, you have the hitter's eye. So a lot of these guys will start to get used to playing under these lights, and I think our hitters want to come out and swing the bats a little bit better. We had a terrific crowd, and these guys are pros. I got an experienced veteran club here, and they'll be ready to play tomorrow.
Mike, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. I mean, what else can you say? It was a Steve Detweiler night that night, and it's funny that he mentioned that. I think these guys want to get the bats going because Hova decided to go out the next night and go and hit a couple of four RBIs, I should say. And then obviously Woodard and Pace have gotten it going. Detweiler at 300. Suboy has slowly made the transition to American ball. He's hitting 300. He's got three games, 10 at-bats under his belt, 3 hits. And then the rest of it, Matt Soderlund, who was the game 2 catcher at 250, Matt Alton, who was caught the last two, first game and the third game, he's at 143. But then the rest of the guys, they got to get it going. Three games in, you got an off day yesterday. Now you look for those guys to really start clicking in with Fontaine and Hale, shortstop. I'm sorry, Fontaine is the second baseman, and he's hitting 111. Derek Hale, who came in and replaced Jimmy Rohan's spot on the roster, he's the shortstop. He came from the Mexican leagues actually Monday night and flew in early Tuesday. He played for Mike Marshall with the Chico Outlaws a couple of years ago. He's only hitting 100. And then Calderon, third baseman, still looking for that first hit. So you're looking for him to get going. And then obviously Will Wright, Ernie Munoz and Steve Boggs. Boggs has only had five ABs under his belt. Him and Pace are kind of in a platoon situation, though. I asked Mike Marshall about that yesterday, and he said, you know what, it looks like Pace might be our center fielder, so it's his job to lose. So we'll see what happens against the righty tonight. The Pacific's throwing right-hander Tyler Topp for tonight on the bump, and we'll see what happens. And it'll be a little interesting because the Grapes, you already see three games from them, but now they're in desperation mode. I spoke to Joe Morello, the manager of the Grapes, the other day, right before game three, and I said, you know, it's early, but it's not that early, and how concerned are you with the 2-0 record? And he basically said, you know, and all the right to him. I mean, he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy with the way that the guys are approaching their ABs and the way that, you know, he thinks that they've got more team speed than the Pacifics, and he likes that they get on, but they're not doing the little things, and they have to get it done, you know, and I think that was what he preached. He said, hey, this is professional baseball. We have to do the little things right. We have to play at the level that we're capable of, or we're not going to win, and he basically called game three a must win. Of course, they go out and get beat by the Pacifics 9-1, but we'll see what happens, and I think the Grapes are going to come out with a little more fire, a little more intensity this Friday. We're anticipating a very big crowd, but the Pacifics, if they keep doing what they're doing and they kind of hand the torch off to somebody every night, you know, we noticed that it was Steve Detweiler game one, Mikel Hova game three, and then, of course, you could maybe give even the game ball over to the pitching staff in game three, maybe even Johnny Woodard, but a fantastic outing. So let's move back. We got to retrack a little bit. Let's talk about the starter for the opening night, Matthew Dertz. He went out there and shoved it, gave up the leadoff home run to Fred Atkins and kind of set the tone there for the game. But after that, he settled in. So let's get a couple of words from him.
Matty, game one in the books. Fantastic outing today. You went, you know, seven strong, gave it to the bullpen, but started off maybe a little shaky there, a little ominous, but you really bowed your neck and went out there and gave your team a chance to win. And that's opening night. Couldn't ask for more. First of all, how awesome is it to be pitching opening night here at Albert Park? You're the first winning pitcher in the history of the San Rafael Pacifics. What does that mean to you?
It's pretty cool, you know. I know this is the first year and the city's really behind this team. I really just wanted to get this win out of the way, take some of the pressure off our guys, and get the ball rolling for us, because hopefully we can get on a little winning streak here and build a comfortable lead in this division.
How did you feel going out there? I mean, did it take you a while to get your pitches going, or it seemed like from the get-go you seemed to be pretty locked in?
I was ready to go. Everything felt fine. You know, I was the first guy, 1-1 count. I left it up a little bit. So he got under it and lifted it up, and maybe a little wind behind it or whatever. But, you know, I'm trying to attack that first guy, get that first out. I don't want to walk their speedster. So go right at him. 1-0. I know our guys are going to score. It's not a big deal.
How awesome was that for you? What kind of boost did it give you when your team came back, tied it right back up, and then obviously it was the Detweiler show tonight? What does that mean for you as a starting pitcher to go out there with the offense behind you?
You know, it's cool having those guys in there with that much pop, and it's even more awesome for Steve. I know he's a local guy, and he wants to do some great things here and hopefully get picked up. He really hit the heck out of the ball tonight, so I'm happy for him. It was cool.
Matt, congratulations.
Appreciate it.
It's the Steve Detweiler show, the first AB. Man, you got a flair for the dramatic there, bud. Going Yardo, and then you do it again, your second AB, and that one probably didn't land until it hit Oakland.
Yeah, man, it was definitely a good game, and, you know, got a lot of help from Fontaine and Hova. They gave me a few bits of information and definitely helped me out, and you know, I got a good pitch and put a good swing on it.
What does it mean for you to do this the first game? I mean, were you thinking about it at all during the game, saying, I want to do something special, or did you go out there and play, and hey, good things happen sometimes?
Just want to put a good swing on a good pitch. You know, it's great to have the support of the community. It was awesome how my family and my friends out here, and, you know, just had adrenaline just running through the veins, you know, and, you know, got lucky. I got to put a good swing on a good pitch, and, you know, things turned out well.
Almost fitting that you're the one with the first home run in the history of the San Rafael Pacifics. But, I mean, talk about Durst out there today on the mound. Gives up the solo bomb. The Grapes were fired up. You guys answered right back, tied it, and then, of course, you took over the show. But he really shoved it, and then the bullpen, a fantastic job closing out the last two innings.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about a veteran. You know, he gave it the first batter. You know, if you look at the statistics of a leadoff hitter who hits a home run, how many times you win a game, he definitely stepped up and stepped right up to the plate and did his job and didn't give up a run the rest of the game. You know, that's amazing, and that's a sign of a veteran right now. He did a great job, an amazing job, and you know, it's nice to have it on our side.
You guys had a lot of adrenaline, obviously, a lot of emotion, an emotional night, opening night here. And so how do you guys recover from that, come back, and you play tomorrow again, and you regroup and get after it?
You know, it's everyday thing, you know. It's opening day is a great day, you know, to show off and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a grind, you know, and the grind starts tomorrow. And, you know, we're going to be out here, hopefully, you know, put on a show for the fans who come out again. You know, it was electric here tonight. And we hope that we can get everybody out here again for tomorrow.
Who's getting that home run ball?
Shapiro, you know, he did so much for me. He helped me out in the front office. He taught me a lot about the game that I didn't even know. And I definitely gave it to Shapiro. He put this whole thing together. He's the reason we're here. And, you know, I'm very thankful for everything that Mike Shapiro did for us.
You get the second one yet, or that one long gone?
I don't – whoever has that has it, and he's keeping it. So, hey, congratulations. That guy got it. And, you know, it's just, you know, another ball, you know. It's cool and everything, but I hope he enjoys it.
Steve, congratulations. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks.
All right, so you sir, Steve Detweiler there, and you talk about flair for the dramatic, and I still get goosebumps when I think about it, and I think everyone did. I was talking to Theo Fightmaster. We were in the press box there, and the longtime rule, there's no cheering in the press box, and I think I broke that. That first home run was unbelievable. I mean, you could not have written a better script for the way things should have gone. You know, we had great opening night ceremonies. It was a packed house. Marin TV was there. Our game was being broadcasted on PacificsBaseball.com. I mean, it was for all the pomp and circumstance that happened, you still had to play a baseball game, and you know, you still had to go out there, and you still had to put together a good ball club, and they had to produce and execute and win. And I think that for a guy like Steve, whose opening night is in his own backyard, for him to slow the game down to a degree in which that he goes out there and hits two mammoth home runs is unbelievable. And it's that old cliche, how can you not be romantic about baseball? I mean, it's awesome. It's something out of the natural, you know, and I really hope that, and I think he did, that he kind of took some time out of there as he was running the bases to really enjoy that. If you were at the ballpark, you saw after the second home run, he tipped his cap for the curtain call. He got a standing ovation. But again, it was a very fun night. And then, you know, he mentioned that, hey, we hope that we can come back and really just get after it, because now, you know, opening night, it's over with. Now it's the season. And they did a fantastic job. They came out one game two, and then they went out there and won game three as well. When we come back, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk about that game three, and we'll talk about what made it interesting about the battery, the starting pitcher and the starting catcher for the Pacifics last night, and which makes the outing out there by Raz even better. I mean, he once you hear about what happened with them, I mean, it's going to be pretty special. Also, one more reminder and report here. The Stars two days ago, had beaten Maui. Maui had won the opener, so the standings right now are the Pacifics in first place, 3-0. Maui and Hilo are both tied in second for at 1-1, and then obviously Sonoma County is 0-3 in the bottom of the cellar. So when we come back, we'll talk about what made it special that Raz went out there and pitched a fantastic game in game three, and then we'll also preview tonight's game about the Grapes and the Pacifics. So Pacifics going for four straight, and the Grapes trying to get off the schneid here. You're listening to PBI. My name's Hunter Hornstein. You're listening to Pacifics Baseball Radio Network. All right, welcome back. You're listening to Pacific's Baseball Insider. My name's Hunter Hornstein. This is the show that'll get you exclusive access to the San Rafael Pacifics, your 2012 San Rafael Pacifics. Apologies for not having those normal commercials or PSAs and all our production value. We had a little bit of a rough week and unable to get those for you. Deeply, deeply, sincerely apologize. You want to listen to, you know, the best of the best. And, you know, it doesn't feel good on our side when we can't give that to you. But we can give you a 3-0 record. The San Rafael Pacifics 3-0 to begin the season. That's got to feel good for the guys. It's got to feel good for the fans. How about that? We had a great crowd Tuesday and Wednesday for middle of the week in finals week. It was a little chilly. The weather's still cold. I mean, we had about 500 out there the last 2 days, and we're anticipating a huge crowd this weekend. Tickets are going very, very fast. If you want to get yours, pacificsbaseball.com. I would highly suggest getting those online pre-sale because you don't want to be left out in the cold. Literally, you don't want to be left out in the cold come Friday at 7 o'clock first pitch. That's scheduled for 7:15 tonight. And it'll be right-hander Tyler Topp on the mound for the Pacifics. We mentioned that in Game 3, the Pacifics bats really woke up, a 9-1 win, and one of those bats was Johnny Woodard. I spoke to him after the game. He notched in his first home run of the season, so let's hear what he had to say. You're listening to Pacifics Baseball Insider.
All right, 9-1, Pacifics win here over the Grapes, complete the three-game sweep. Johnny, first knock out of the park there for you today. How'd that feel?
Man, it felt good. First few bats I was kind of pulling off, and Mike told me when I got to third on a walk, he told me you're just pulling off a little bit in the, right at the end of the swing. So next at bat, I kind of thought about that, stayed close, and the rest is history.
You had a big game also with that home run. You went down the line, really broke that game open, putting you guys up 9-1. The double, how'd that feel going the other way with that pitch and just slicing it down the line there? You had yourself a pretty good game tonight.
Man, it was two strikes. He got me early with a changeup on the second pitch, and he was getting up there pretty quick, so I kind of wanted to stay close, and felt pretty good. I just, when I know I'm going the other way, then that's when I know I'm starting to hit.
How'd you feel in BP prior to the game?
Kind of, you know, okay. My BPs are always like that. I'm a, what you call maybe a 7 o'clock hitter. You know, BP is, when I know it's a good BP and I'm lining everything up, sometimes the game isn't as good, but when the BP is kind of shaky a little bit, then the game is better.
How important is it, I should say? You guys start off 3-0, you sweep the Grapes in the first series, you got them again Friday, but a couple of closer games in the first two, and then this one you just blow them out. How's that feel?
It feels great. All we're getting together, and it's a couple more people are starting to swing it, so I think once we start swinging, it's going to be the snowball downhill. You can't stop it.
Thanks a lot, Johnny.
And for the sake of our guys, a snowball running downhill in Marin County, that's pretty terrifying. I want to mention about Johnny Woodard. Sorry, that was a terrible, terrible joke right there. Johnny Woodard, 375 on the year in 8 at-bats. He's got 3 hits, obviously the double that drove in 2 runs, and then the home run, the solo shot, his first of the year. But I want to point out, he's got 5 walks, and he leads the team in walks. The only person behind him is Chase Fontaine with 4. But 5 walks for your number, your middle hitter, I believe he's 4. Subway hits 3rd. He's your 4 hitter, and he's got, you know, 5 walks. That means he's seen the ball, and that also goes with Chase Fontaine. You know, I kind of maybe have mentioned that it was a 111 average, not where he necessarily wants it, not where Mike Marshall wants it, not really where the fans want it, but still, you're seeing the ball with 4 walks, and also Chase has been playing fantastic defense over there at second base. Him and Derek Hale have been really working together. They didn't work together at all during spring training. Hale coming in hot right before game 2. But, I mean, if you're seeing walks, that means you're seeing the ball very well. That's something that Zach Pace kind of mentioned to me. And speaking of Zach Pace, he notched in his first 2 home runs in front of the home crowd on Wednesday night as well. He was in the leadoff spot again after getting the day off game 2. And then promptly, you know, he's a spark plug. He's a little dirt bag, little bulldog. You can throw out all the superlatives. I mean, he's a throwback. So funny seeing him on base because he's like a little kid out there, but he plays hard as well. He is the epitome of a ball player. That's what you want from him. He might not have the 5 tool set or the 6 tool set, whatever you want to go with, but he goes out there every day and plays hard. So here's Zach Pace.
All righty, Zach. You were talking to me earlier before the game during batting practice. You felt pretty good, and then you thought the swing was coming around. You're on base a bunch of times again. The on-base percentage keeps on going up, but you also get a couple of knocks there. How'd that feel?
Felt great. I was getting on base all spring training. I didn't have any knocks, so I was ready to get that first one out of the way, and got it out of the way, and felt pretty good. I was, working on a couple things the last couple days in batting practice, working on my load a little bit, and felt pretty good at the plate, felt pretty good in batting practice, and paid off a little bit for me.
I know you and I were talking about earlier the fact that with the platoon situation in center might be a little different, not getting those consistent games, the consistent ABs, but tonight it looked like you picked right up where you left off in game one, got the two knocks right away. How good does that feel for you coming after a game off in the second game?
It feels great. You expect to play every day, and if you're not in, you're not in. You take it how it is, and it felt good getting that first one out of the way, the first AB. I felt like I was putting some good swings on today. Everything felt pretty good, and the first two ABs, I kind of slacked a little bit in later ABs, but it felt pretty good for most of the part.
The schedule's a little unique here this first season. You guys got the off day tomorrow and then start the second series with the Grapes. What does that do? Because you're going to be seeing these pitchers six times this week. They're going to be seeing you guys six times this week. What adjustments have to be made to be this successful once the second series starts?
Just get used to them pitchers. Remember what they're throwing you, how they're throwing you. If they're working you in, out, throwing you off speed stuff. And for the most part, they try to, they stick to the plan. If they stick to that plan, and you have a pretty good idea what's coming, you just try to look for something you're going to get and have a good, good at bat.
Zach, couple hits tonight, get the win. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
And then I also spoke to Raz, as Mike Marshall calls him, Jake Razner, who had a fantastic outing as well. First time working with his catcher, Matt Alton. That's what I felt like was super, super cool. They had never caught each other in a bullpen. They never worked together. And the first time they go out there, they throw him out in the fire in game three. And he delivered. I mean, there's not much else you can say about that. And you got to give a credit to Matt Alton. He's 21 years old, first of all, first year in pro ball, but for him to be able to go out there and handle the pitching staff in the first two games the way he did, game one and game three, is pretty remarkable. But also, Raz is a veteran, and he knows what he's doing, and I think him and Matt are going to be working well together.
Jake Razner, fantastic outing tonight, really shoved it. I mean, that's another quality star for the Pacifics. You continue the trend of solid pitchings for your team. How good did that feel? It was your turn in line with the rotation. You guys get a little bit of offense, and you complete the sweep in this first series with the Grapes.
It felt good, after two solid outings from the two previous pitchers on our team. I definitely didn't want to go out there and reverse the trend, so I was just going to go out and try and throw strikes and let our defense make plays, and they all made great plays today. So.
This was the first time you and your catcher, Alton, were working together. You guys never really had a bullpen earlier in spring training. So what was the game plan going into this game, just because you guys maybe trying to feel your way out there? Did you guys just go right after them, or what was the game plan tonight?
Yeah, we did talk about that. It was trying to go out there, and I told him, if we're not on the same page, I'll just shake. But for the most part, we were right on page. I thought he called a great game, caught a great game. I mean, it was better than I expected, because he's never caught me before. I honestly don't think he did catch a bullpen in spring training or anything. So he did a great job, and he caught on real fast, and I think we're going to do just fine together.
You had the fastball working well early, spotting it down. Looked like the Grapes might have not made really that many adjustments to you. How easy is that for you to pitch, when you're that locked in?
It was nice. I was throwing everything for strikes, and the first couple of innings, they did not make adjustments, but I saw some of their swings. They started making adjustments real fast after they saw my patterns, what I was doing. So then I had to mix it up going, the second time through the rotation. They're good hitters. They know what they're doing. So it was fun, though.
Your offense puts up 9 runs. How easy is it to pitch with that big of a lead? I mean, we're talking the first two games, almost nail biters, you could say. This time the bats really woke up, and how fun is that pitching with that kind of offense behind you?
It just takes the pressure off. You just don't have to try and strike everyone out. You can go out there and like, okay, I'm just gonna throw it down the plate, and if they hit it to our guy, they do. You get such a big lead, you just throw strikes, and you don't have to worry about spotting ups here, spotting up there, and it takes a lot of pressure off the pitcher.
Jake, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, and again, 9 runs, and that really helps. That was led there by Hova and Johnny Woodard as well. Tonight's pitcher, Tyler Topp, is a right-hander. He was out of Riverside, California. So a local guy. He also had some college experience at Long Beach State, which was kind of cool. Once I found that out, was able to talk to him a little bit. He was there during Mike Weathers' era. And so he knows what it's like to pitch on the big stage. Long Beach State, a very, very good Division I school. I like this quote that he has. His favorite quote is from The Sandlot. "You ever had a paper route? When your arm gets here, just let go." That's when Benny Rodriguez telling Smalls how to throw a baseball. But again, yeah, grew up in Riverside, California, grew up a Dodgers fan. And again, tonight, probably he might have some family out there. Riverside isn't that far away, maybe a 6-hour drive. And he will take on the Grapes here in game one of the second series, the weekend series here against the Grapes, before they get ready to go to Hawaii on Monday. They're taking on Maui, who is 1-1 on the season. The Stars are 1-1, Grapes 0-3, but the Pacifics, more importantly, are 3-0, looking to continue the trend here. 4 wins in a row in the books, maybe. We'll see what happens. The offense has got to get going, or not necessarily got to get going, but got to keep going. And the starting pitching and the bullpens have been fantastic, and that's the only thing that really, it looks like that's it. I mean, defense has been shaky at times. That'll get shored up, though, and that'll come with communication and just getting to be out there together more often, and they'll get it locked in. But the pitching staff, wow, unbelievable pitching. I mean, you got one guy in your staff with an ERA. The bullpen has not given up a run yet, and you saw Gump and Raz follow up Durkin's great outing with two great outings of their own. So we're looking forward to that. Tyler Topp looking to continue the trend out there. He's the righty. First pitch scheduled for 7:15. Tickets are still available. Go to pacificsbaseball.com to get yours. Also, the box office opens an hour and a half prior to game time. Come on down to Albert Park. See if you can't get some tickets. You can't beat $12 tickets, fans. Also, $5 beer. And it's a Friday night, and we'll have a lot of fun out there. So, with that being said, I'm going to let you guys get going. It's 9:30. You've been listening to Pacifics Baseball Insider. At 6 o'clock, make sure you tune back in here on Pacifics Baseball Radio. The pregame show with Stuart Horn and Brian Sanchez will come alongside you, and then they will take you all the way up to 7 o'clock, where they will have the call of the fourth game of Pacifics Baseball 2012. The Pacifics looking for game number one. Thanks for everyone for tuning in. We really appreciate it. My name's Hunter Hornstein. You can always get in touch with me, hunter@pacificsbaseball.com. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Pacifics Baseball Insider Radio. Also, you can follow us on Twitter @PBI_radio. Thanks a lot for tuning in, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you at the ballpark in the Pacifics. Hopefully, by the time we talk to you next Friday, we'll have some more wins racked up in their back pocket. Again, thanks for tuning in. See you at the ballpark. Go Pacifics. You've been listening to PBI on the Pacifics Baseball Radio Network.